This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, June 10th. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across our nation, coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always great to be with you. First of all, I want to say congratulations. Congratulations to our spiritual director and longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air contributor, Father James Kubicki, who is celebrating his 39th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. Thank you, Father Kubicki, for saying yes to our Lord Jesus Christ and for all your many contributions to Holy Mother Church and our Relevant Radio family. Thanks again. I want to bring in my colleague, Relevant Radio News anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are a few stories that are making headlines this hour here this morning?
Hey, John, just wanted to quickly add my thanks and congratulations to Father James Kubicki as well. Always a joyful voice here on Relevant Radio and Morning Air for so many years. We definitely appreciate that work. John, if you're looking for a early summer, TV miniseries, hearings on the Capitol Hill riots will be on for about a half a dozen times over the next couple weeks here. They got underway last night, and it looks to be kind of a relitigating of what happened back on January 6th of 2021, as the transfer of power was not so orderly at the Capitol, with riots resulting in at least one death that day and many injuries as well. What happened was not good. That it was allowed to happen was not good. The president's response or lack of response, I think, caused a break between the president and many Republicans at that point. I don't know that a lot of new information is coming out, but certainly designed to try and tarnish Republicans ahead of the midterms, John.
And last night, on a beautiful summer night, I actually I spent the evening watching my son play in a travel baseball game. So I missed most of the hearing, although I did hear a little bit of the tail end on the radio. What is your sense? Because, you know, it's controversial, obviously. Not everybody in our country is on board with these hearings. There's many, many questions that still exist. In fact, these hearings maybe are bringing up more questions than they're answering.
Well, they're designed to bring up, more disgust with President Trump and Republicans, which they may do in part. Anyone that's not really decided based on that yet might be kind of hard to find. But it'll be interesting if any new info does come out. Again, there were kind of odd moves on many parts of that, but and some dangerous things, you know, and riots often do get a little bit out of hand, or a lot out of hand, as was the case at the Capitol that day as well.
What has been the Republican response?
Well, they think it's just political theater, basically. And, even Fox News main channel, one of the few news channels not carrying the coverage wall to wall.
Meanwhile, something that is on the minds of just about every American is the price of gas, just one penny away from $5 a gallon nationally. What are we going to see? What is going on, Glenn?
Well, I've still got my old Schwinn Varsity 10-speed from the 1970s. It's powder blue. It looks great. It's got a few scrapes on some of the pipes from my baseball spikes, but might have to pump the tires up and get that ready to go on. But $4.99 will hit $5 a gallon here any minute, John, I think. And it's $6.42 a gallon in California. You tell me Illinois is very, very high as well. And this, of course, has ripple effects not only for the elections, but, I mean, every part of the economy with, everything we get eventually arriving on wheels.
I would stretch so you don't pull any hamstrings there before you jump on that 10-speed, Glenn, because if it's been that long since you've been riding it, you might need to get a little stretch in there.
Unfortunately, my old-fashioned 10-speed has a flat, so I got to take care of that before I even think of riding my bike.
Yeah, well, I'm usually pulling a four-year-old around on the back of mine, so... you get a lot of leg strength training with that because those kids get heavier as they get older.
How fun is that? I love it. Meanwhile, NBA Finals tonight, the all-important pivotal game four in Boston tonight as the Celtics surprisingly lead the Warriors 2-1 in that series. Glenn, that is a little bit of a surprise.
I think so, with all the experience the Warriors have, but Celtics hanging tough, bringing a great team effort each time.
Meanwhile, on the ice, NHL Eastern Conference Finals, what's going on with the Lightning and the Rangers?
Defending champs, the Tampa Bay Lightning won the last two Stanley Cups. They're one win away from getting back to the finals again this year. They broke open a tie late in the third period in New York last night, won that game 3-1. They're up 3-2 in that best-of-seven series. Game six coming up, deciding game possibly on Saturday nights.
You can never underestimate the heart of a champion, but getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals after you've won, to win back-to-back is extremely difficult, as we've seen. It rarely happens in any sport, let alone in the NHL, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a long time. You know, harken back almost to those days of the Oilers winning multiple cups in a row and the Islanders back in the day as well.
I was there when the Detroit Red Wings won their back-to-back back in the 90s in the Motor City. So I know the excitement that's going on in Tampa. As always, thanks so much.
Sure thing, John.
First things first, we start every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Keep in mind that on Fridays, we always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as well as the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially here in this month of June, the month of the Sacred Heart. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 2 Corinthians 13:13. The Apostle St. Paul prays a Trinitarian blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. The Most Holy Trinity is a mystery revealed by God and handed on to us through sacred tradition. But there are many, many Trinitarian clues in sacred scripture. In fact, among them, our Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, not the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28, the early church fathers extensively taught about one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's love that best describes the nature of the Holy Trinity, because God is love. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, threats and violence against the Supreme Court and pro-life organizations have absolutely increased since the news broke in May about a leaked Supreme Court draft ruling that shows the justices overturning Roe v. Wade. Check out a sample of what is being talked about on CNN regarding protests outside the justices' homes.
And there have been no uprisings. People haven't taken to the streets except for locally. So I hope there will be a national uprising, but I'm concerned that the stomach for that isn't there.
Protests outside Supreme Court justices' houses, particularly Justice Kavanaugh. Where do you think that line is?
I think for a lot of people, a conversation about civility feels like it misses the mark when constitutional rights that you believe that you had for over 50 years are about to be overturned.
And on Wednesday, a California abortion extremist armed with a Glock pistol and other weapons was arrested near Justice Brett Kavanaugh's Maryland home. The suspect, Nicholas John Roski, was charged with attempted murder, and he told officers after he was arrested that he wanted to kill the Supreme Court justice. Joining us now from the Chicago area is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, for much more reaction on this story and other protests. Mary's an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John, and good morning to all of your listeners. Thank you again for having me on.
Well, Mary, the news that we've been hearing this past week is so disturbing and so alarming, and not only, of course, for Justice Kavanaugh and his family, but also for all the Supreme Court justices. Can you talk about how crazy this situation has become?
It's not just crazy, but also quite frightening. And there was a man who was arrested. He apparently was dropped off by a cab right in front of Justice Kavanaugh's home. And as I think most people know, he has two young daughters who are still school age. And there were thankfully two guards in front of the home at the time. So he saw them. Seeing them, he turned and walked the other way and went to a payphone where he allegedly told the dispatcher that answered the phone that he was having suicidal thoughts and that he wanted to kill Justice Kavanaugh because of the leaked Dobbs opinion. And so he was arrested very quickly. I read the affidavit of the FBI agent this morning, and there's an excellent story at the Washington Examiner from yesterday, Thursday, that I would recommend to your listeners, and where he was quite explicit about his coming to Washington, D.C. to kill Justice Kavanaugh. As you mentioned, he had a Glock pistol. He also had a knife. He also had pepper spray. He also had, those ties that you can use to tie someone up. So he had not only, it wasn't just words. He had planned. He had gotten the weapons together. Again, he looked up Justice Kavanaugh's address on the internet, which pro-abortion groups have been, publicizing the home addresses of all of the justices who, purportedly are going to vote with the majority to overturn Roe versus Wade, and went and was intent to carry out this crime. And so to threaten and then almost attempt an assassination of a sitting Supreme Court justice, very, very serious. He's definitely going to see jail time. He doesn't appear to have been mentally incompetent. And so we'll have to see where this goes with his trial. But very, very frightening. And again, as you mentioned, on top of a firebombing at a pro-life pregnancy center in Buffalo, there was vandalism of a clinic in Miami where, in fact, I have a friend who volunteers there as a radiologist. She does the ultrasound exams. She's a physician. And she tweeted out a picture saying, this is the clinic where I volunteer. And they, had spray painted, if abortion is not safe, then neither are you. I mean, these are explicit threats towards people who, again, are simply providing alternate choices for women who are faced with an unplanned pregnancy. So this is, it's really quite terrifying. And, we're just seeing this kind of behavior escalate.
Obviously, this was a huge story this week. It seemed that the mainstream media virtually ignored the story. What does that tell you about the mainstream media and those who are in favor of abortion?
The first thing I did when I got up, I looked at the Washington Post website and I looked at the New York Times website, and I really had to hunt to find any kind of update about this, again, threatened assassination of Justice Kavanaugh. I really had to look for it, but what was getting top billing was this January 6th commission, this inquiry into what really happened on January 6th. And, as I talk to people, as you know, I travel across the country giving pro-life talks and quite am engaged with other people. I've rarely heard anybody bring up January 6th. I mean, American people are not concerned primarily about what happened on January 6th. I think they have put that in their rearview mirrors. They are concerned about paying close to $7 a gallon for gas, and they are concerned by the erosion of parental rights. in a variety of different ways. And, you know, they're concerned about whether or not, you know, there's this economy is going to hold up and you know, what they're going to do if inflation continues this way. So those are the real issues that the American people are worried about. And yet you see the focus of this mainstream media is, you know, things like there was an article, I think it was in the New York Times, about why we're not really using the term woman anymore. We're not using the word woman anymore when we talk about abortion, because we need to talk in more inclusive terms. And so rather than saying woman, we have to say pregnant person. Also, that we can't use the word breastfeeding, we have to use the word chest feeding. I mean, this was a story in a national newspaper the day after.
I can't help but just laugh when
I know, just, it's insanity. Insane. I mean, it's crazy. And this the day after a sitting Supreme Court justice was, you know, was in grave danger. I mean, had those guards not been there, this man could have very likely gotten into his house and caused him grave harm. I mean, this, and again, this should be every American, conservative or liberal, should be concerned when sitting judges are threatened, because that is, you know, that is kind of a sacrosanct part of the American democratic process, is the independence of the judiciary and the ability of the judiciary to make decisions based on the law without threats of violence towards them. I mean, we saw this, you know, during the civil rights movement, right, where there were sometimes threats made against judges who ruled to desegregate schools, for example. And so this cannot stand, and every person of goodwill should be speaking out against this. It was very disappointing to see that there wasn't a more vociferous response.
We're joined this morning by Mary Helen Fiorito, a regular contributor to Morning Air, a Catholic and pro-life attorney, giving us some perspective here on the shocking events that happened this week. In fact, you talk about shocking. Right after the arrest, the very same day, extreme abortion advocates like Ruth Sent Us, that's the name of this group, they stepped up their rhetoric and they protested the same day, Wednesday night, outside of Kavanaugh's home. Just amazing.
Yeah, that was just disgraceful. And I've watched the tape of that several times. And now, of course, there were probably a dozen armed officers outside the Kavanaugh home. And as these people marched up and down with bullhorns and drums, and you know, and peaceful protest is absolutely wonderful thing, and it is a good thing about our democracy, and it's a good thing that our First Amendment permits freedom of assembly and obviously freedom of speech and your ability to protest if you're doing it peacefully. However, this is how aggressive these groups are. I mean, the man's life was threatened, and Lord knows what he might have done, this man might have had intended to do to his minor children and his wife. And this group, Ruth Sent Us, was tweeting on Wednesday evening just vile things and messages to Ashley Kavanaugh, the justice's wife, about where her daughters go to school, and then marching that same night, that very same night his life had been threatened, up and down in front of his house. That should tell people. I mean, when people show you who they are, believe them. And this is how extreme and angry these people are. And I hope the American general public is watching, and it's just a very, very concerning thing overall for, again, all people of goodwill. Democrats and Republicans should be concerned about this. I was also disappointed not to see a very, very assertive outcry from Democrats. And, you know, when there was, I mean, you might remember this because you've been in the pro-life movement as long as I have, John, when there were a couple of clinic bombings, bombings of abortion clinics or harm against abortion providers, the pro-life movement spoke up loudly and clearly and said there is no room for violence in the pro-life movement. We are not violent people. You cannot tell people killing is wrong by killing another person. You know, the right to life extends to everyone, and this is unacceptable behavior, and we don't condone it. We condemn it universally, but we haven't seen that from, I mean, Planned Parenthood didn't release a statement. NARAL didn't release a statement. I mean, why are they being silent on this and looking the other way on this? They should be issuing statements, as we did, saying we condemn violence of any sort. This is a democracy. This is not how it works here. But you didn't see any of that. But again, when people show you who they are, you have to believe them.
peaceful protests would be one thing if they did it outside the actual Supreme Court. But isn't there a federal law against protesting outside the justices' homes? And why is it not being enforced?
Yeah, there is. And there are special protections, as I mentioned, rightly so, for judges and for justices of the court. And why it's not being more aggressively enforced, I don't know. It's, you know, not my decision. I am glad that they have now dispatched far greater security to all of the justices, which I think needs to be done, but particularly for the justices that signed on to that draft leaked opinion. There were five of them. And, you know, for me, it's kind of interesting that this particular accused man and the group who sent us have focused in on Justice Kavanaugh, because he wasn't the author of the opinion. He certainly signed on to it, but he's not the person that at least I, as a pro-life person, immediately associates with this particular Dobbs draft. It would be Justice Alito who wrote the opinion.
They've trashed him as well.
Yes. Well, I know they've been at all the justices' home and there, but, you know, in terms of the direct threat, I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting. And, you know, who knows what goes through the minds of these people, but I think we need to be very aware, and particularly as Catholics, John, because the reaction we've seen to the Dobbs leak, the vandalism, and, you know, we've seen it at pregnancy clinics, at pregnancy help centers, but also at Catholic churches. Those are the two main targets of these, you know, pro-abortion activist and really kind of anarchist groups. They've really been, you know, again, very much focused on people who are Catholic, the justices who are Catholic, but also Catholic churches, Catholic communities, and pregnancy centers. So, you know, it's odd to me that if you want to promote abortion and you say that you are for choices, you would be firebombing the very centers that give women choices. I mean, pregnancy centers provide, you know, housing and medical care and maternity help and, you know, parenting classes and all the practical things women need, like, you know, diapers and cribs, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the centers that are actually giving women choices. And so to protest or to harm and damage and vandalize the centers, you say you're pro-choice, but you're going after the very, you know, institutions that are providing women with choices.
Makes no sense. The Epoch Times uncovered yet more details this past week about radical abortion activists' plans to blockade the Supreme Court building on June 13th, or this coming Monday. What are these groups trying to do? They think that that's going to be the decision day. What's your take?
I think they're going to be sort of a presence anytime the court's going to hand down a decision until we get the Dobbs decision. You know, there's already now an 8-foot unscalable wall around the Supreme Court. I mean, this is really sad that in America we need to do this. But it has to be done not just to protect the justices, but also the clerks and the secretaries and, you know, the other people who work there need to be, you know, have a right to go to their jobs and do their work without threats of violence or intimidation. And so it has to be done. But, you know, I think my sense of what they're doing is they really think that they've somehow captured the hearts and minds of the American people. I think they're actually harming themselves. I think quite the opposite is true. When American people, even people who would, you know, self-describe as pro-choice or supporters of legal abortion, I think many of them would say, okay, wait a second, we draw the line at violence, at threats, at intimidation. You don't harm other people. It is not who we are as Americans. Especially when they, you know, when the more extreme groups show up, they tend to have very nonconformist, I guess, you know, outfits and hair and everything else. I really do think sort of, and, you know, there's that old phrase, does it play in Peoria? I think in middle America, which, you know, the two coasts tend to forget about most of the time, it really turns people off. And I think all they're doing is setting up for an even bigger Republican landslide in November.
Mary, we have about 60 seconds left. Just a final thought on what the pro-life response should be when the Dobbs decision comes down and Roe is actually overturned.
First of all, I think people need to be clear on what it means when we say that Roe is overturned. The Supreme Court will not be making abortion illegal. What the Supreme Court is saying is that there is no fundamental right to abortion in the Constitution. The word abortion is not contained in it, and there's no right to private killing contained in the Constitution. Therefore, these issues are best handled state by state, where people can listen to testimony, where doctors can come forward and other advocates, and the people in each state can decide whether or not this is a state right that they want to protect in their state to keep, or they want to protect unborn children to some degree in their state. That is up to the people. That's what Roe being overturned is, what that means. That being said, I think, you know, with the Catholic community, we don't want to be gloating and spiking, you know, spiking the football. We want to say this is a rational and good decision, and we as Catholics remain committed to providing women with the real choices that they need, the real support and practical help that they need to give life to their children. We say as Catholics, why can't we love them both? Why can't we love both mother and child?
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. As always, Mary, I appreciate your Catholic, pro-life, and legal perspective.
Well, John, it was wonderful to be with you and your listeners, as ever, and I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Thanks so much. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ, will explain why this is the Catholic summer of baseball. Stay with us. We're going to talk about America's national pastime and the faith straight ahead as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air with John Morales.
Jump into the conversation. 888-914-9149.
Put me in code. I'm ready to play.
Are you ready for some baseball? Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales with Glenn Leverance, our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Our number, again, if you want to be part of the program, part of our conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, this is the Catholic Summer of Baseball, and Catholic Athletes for Christ has launched a new ballot for fans to select the all-time Catholic All-Star team. Holy cow! Or should I say, holy cow! Can you believe it? All you got to do is go to our Morning Air Twitter and Facebook pages, and you can find the link to Catholic Athletes for Christ to be able to view the ballot. Take your time, look at all these names. They're some of the greatest names of all time, and you can select your Catholic ball players at every position, as well as manager, a general manager, and even broadcaster. And now joining us for much more live is Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ, spreading the gospel of Christ in and through athletics. Ray is a Washington, D.C. based attorney and former general counsel of the General Services Administration. Ray is also has served as a baseball chaplain for over 8 years. Good morning, Ray. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It is so great to be with you again.
Great to be here and hear your voice again, John. Good morning.
Brother, it's great to hear your voice as well. And first off the bat, I want to say congratulations on your new film, The Gil Hodges Story, Soul of a Champion. Absolutely fantastic. I was so captivated and inspired by watching that film, Ray.
Thank you very much, John. I know that means a lot to me because I know what a great job you've done with Champions of Faith and how many people you blessed with that. So coming from you, that's something that I really appreciate.
Well, I appreciate it as well. And Ray, remember that, you know, you were with us right from the very beginning. I remember so vividly down in spring training when we first started filming Champions of Faith. You were right there at the grassroots while we were starting to work on that film. And now you have one of your own to be able to share with the world. What a tremendous work this is with Catholic Athletes for Christ and Spirit Juice Studios. You guys did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. And speaking of working from the beginning, and many of the subjects of the great film Champions of Faith are on our all-star ballot, our all-Catholic ballot, I should say.
I absolutely noticed that.
It kind of comes full circle, John.
Yes, it does. And would you believe that it's been 15 years since the world premiere? In fact, just this past March 25th, I'll never forget it because it was the Feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Mother, of course. 15 years since the premiere of the film. So I want to talk about Catholic Athletes for Christ this morning. There's so much going on here in the summertime. Why are you calling it the Catholic Summer of Baseball?
Oh, we're just so excited to have baseball, you know, kind of back reopened after, you know, two disappointing COVID years where there were so many restrictions and, you know, it really wasn't the same, and it's not fully the same yet, but it's getting pretty close. But we're really excited. I believe that your show has been featuring and promoting Father Casey and Father Tito's tour, the Bleacher Brothers, the Franciscan Fathers going to all 30 stadiums, and CAC is involved with that also. And we're reopening all of our masses, God willing, you know, throughout the stadium that we have for the team personnel. And there's the Hodgers induction, as you mentioned, the film, July 24th in Cooperstown. So many things just coming together. We're so excited, you know, as our buddy Mike Sweeney likes to say, he loves to use the greatest game ever created, baseball, to tell the greatest story ever told. And so we're just thrilled to have baseball back and to evangelize and smell the smell of green grass on the field.
I'm with you. And, you know, before we talk about all these many things that are going on this summer with baseball and Catholic Athletes for Christ, tell us, why is baseball our national pastime, which, you know, in its essence is really just a kid's game? Why is it called a metaphor for life?
Well, you know, as I think it's our friend Rich Donnelly, who's also in Champions of Faith, you know, speaks about the way the bases are laid out when you start at home and you come back to home and you go through, you know, first, second, and third. It's really, really a great metaphor for the journey of life. For many times, some people, like Rich himself and myself, where we stray far from God. We get to second base, we're, you know, maybe away from home, but then we know, you know, as much as we love baseball, we love the things of this world, we know that we're just strangers here, that our ultimate home is in heaven. So we're going back to home plate. That's our goal. And baseball is so rich in so many metaphors that we can apply to the faith. You know, when we had a baseball retreat a number of years ago that about the last things, but, you know, we call that stealing home, coming back to home. There's just, I could go on forever. I know you don't want me to, but it's just baseball and the faith seem to me inextricably intertwined.
No question about it. Ray, tell us a little bit more about Catholic Athletes for Christ and your connection to the Bleacher Brothers. I love these guys, these Franciscan friar priests, Father Casey Cole and Father Tito Serrano. These guys are in the middle of a trip right now across our country, this tour of 30 ballparks in 11 weeks. We definitely are promoting this. In fact, we had Father Casey on the show the day before he launched his tour.
Yeah, in fact, they're coming here where we are, which is Washington, D.C., and the Nationals next week. My little 10-year-old daughter, Amelia, is really excited to meet them and to promote the message. But, you know, just so wonderful, the evangelization that they are doing all throughout the stands and in front of the stadium, in the stadium, with everybody, just telling them the great joy. I mean, you know, to me, baseball is a game. It brings great joy to the heart, you know, and as does the faith. And they, but, you know, to again team them together as they are doing so well is just, you know, just home run, I guess.
Well, as we speak today, they're in Philadelphia visiting the Phillies. Tomorrow, they travel to Yankee Stadium, across the street from the original Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built to see the Yankees. So I'm sure that the Bleacher Brothers are having a great time, not only at the ballparks, living out their dream, but also sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless them, and I would encourage all your listeners, if you have an opportunity, you know, look at their website and their schedule, and go out and meet them and greet them and tell them you're enjoying what they're doing.
Absolutely. What these guys are doing is really, really neat. And we're hoping to check in with Father Casey in the upcoming weeks and get a progress report on how things are going on the tour. Now, let's talk about your Catholic Athletes for Christ All Catholic Baseball Team voting. I find this so exciting. It's so much fun. I am captivated by the ballot. So far, I've gone through it. I've checked off the names.
Right.
There's a few that are pretty tough decisions, though. Ray, tell us all about this program.
You know, it's something we've been thinking about and praying about for a while, and we're really excited to launch it. You know, it's a baseball. They have the All-Star voting by fans now, which I think ends just in the middle of July, about the same time our ballot ends. And we're really excited to get, you know, people think, well, one of the main purposes is just informational, to look at the list, and I encourage everybody to go and look at the list, is the great, great players, you know, some of the greatest players of all time, Babe Ruth, Yogi Berra, Hank Aaron, Catholic players. I mean, you know, Catholics, as many sports, really dominant force in the game and in Cooperstown. And many of these, voters can take this any way they want. I mean, you know, there are some players on there whose contributions to the faith, like Mike Sweeney, Mike Piazza, off the charts, and many are Knights of Columbus. So it's we're just so excited now, but we're waiting to see what the people think, what comes back in the poll, and who's selected.
Well, I'll tell you, first base is a really tough position for this former sports reporter to make up my mind. I mean, I love Mike Sweeney. I mean, to me, Mike Sweeney is the most passionate athlete I've ever run across, a guy that's plugged into the socket of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he likes to say. He was a great ball player, but obviously there's some other great ball players like Jim Thome. I mean, 600-plus home runs, the guy was outstanding, and obviously Gil Hodges, who you feature in your film.
Yeah, well, Thurl Clark. And I think, you know, look at the catching position. You know, I think that's another great one. Mickey Cochran, Yogi, Mike Piazza, who we mentioned, friend Terry Kennedy. Just so many, you know, and I think it's interesting because catching, as you know, is part of baseball where you're not born a catcher. You're kind of taught and learned. You're mentored to be a catcher. And it's a great analogy to the faith. You know, nobody born knowing the faith, we have to pass it on from generation to generation, like catchers pass along the tips of the trade for, you know, being a top-notch catcher.
Absolutely. And Mike Piazza, who broke Yogi Berra's record and Carlton Fisk's record for most home runs ever by a catcher, has got to be one of the favorites for sure as the all-time greatest Catholic catcher in baseball history.
How about the outfield, John? I think that's a tough one, too. Would you say?
Yeah, no, there's no question. That's really a tough one, although I think I'm partial to Piazza. Mike Piazza, who I had a chance to meet with Piazza, we met John Paul II, St. John Paul II at the Vatican, a moment in time I will never forget. So, yeah, we're going to talk more about this ballot. In fact, I want to invite our listeners, once again, if you want to share your vote for the Catholic Athletes for Christ, all Catholic baseball team. And again, you can go to our Twitter page and our Facebook page for the Morning Air Show and see the ballot yourself. If you want to share who you would vote for, and or perhaps you want to share your experience of using sports to spread the gospel, especially if you're a Catholic baseball player and an athlete, we're taking your calls for Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Ray McKenna. Stay with us. There's much more baseball chatter to come along with the faith here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And up comes big Gil Hodges. He digs in, sees one he likes, and hammers a three-run homer.
Gil doesn't miss this one. There it goes. Al Smith goes away back to the base of the fence.
The story of Gil Hodges is a beautiful one. He just taught me so much by example.
Hodges comes storming into the bag, sighing for a triple. He makes it safe.
Now it sends a ground into Pee Wee Reese. And these Dodgers at last are world champions.
Stats don't even begin to describe his mastery of first base.
He loved his family, loved his country, and he loved the Dodgers.
You treated everyone equal. That's exactly who and what he was.
Hodges called for the ball.
The Mets are the world champions. Look at this scene.
It gives me chills. That was from the opening scene of the Gil Hodges story, Soul of a Champion documentary film produced by Catholic Athletes for Christ and Spirit Juice Studios. We're joined this morning by Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. If you want to be part of our conversation, if you want to vote for the all-time greatest Catholic Athletes for Christ, all-Catholic baseball team, this is the best of the best there ever was who happened to be Catholic. Give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, and you can actually see the ballot yourself at our Morning Air Twitter and Facebook pages. Ray, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
Ray, I get so fired up when I saw your documentary about Gil Hodges. There's a lot of things that I never even knew about. What a great ambassador for the game. What a wonderful Catholic ball player. I mean, we're talking about a former Brooklyn Dodger who's about to be inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown on July 24th. Without a doubt, one of the all-time greats. Ray, what do you think made Hodges so special, the soul of the Dodgers, in the words of Jackie Robinson?
Oh, a couple of things. There's many, but just a couple of things come to mind. One is, you know, it's in the film. No one ever remembers him uttering a curse word, you know, in the locker room and in the sports world. That's somewhat phenomenal. No one ever remembers him. And even more remarkable is he was never booed in New York, in Brooklyn. And you know, John, what a tough environment that is. I mean, all the great players, you know, Derek Jeter has been booed in New York, and players going through slumps, and I'm sure the other Dodgers were. But there was something special. Gil Hodges really was the embodiment of the team, of the borough of Brooklyn, and in many ways, you know, a perfect representative for Christ in the game of baseball.
No question. And in fact, I was moved to see Tommy Lasorda, the longtime Los Angeles Dodger manager, say, hey, he couldn't do it. He couldn't not, you know, obviously he was a good man, but every once in a while he might say something that he regretted, but not so with Gil Hodges.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I would encourage everybody to go and look at the film. And I think you'll really be edified and uplifted. Just what a great man Gil Hodges is. You know, and there's nobody. We interviewed hundreds of people and spoke to hundreds of people in the course of making the film. And there's not one person who had anything even vaguely negative to say about Gil Hodges.
Well, this is why it's a tough decision for first base on your all-time all-star ballot with Gil Hodges, Mike Sweeney, Jim Thome, just to name a few among the candidates for that position. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the most votes there.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we encourage your listeners and everybody who participates to send us an email on our website if you had any thoughts. You know, it's, hey, this is a tough choice here. I wanted to vote for two candidates, or I made a vote for, you know, Craig Stammen, or just to pick one, because Craig has really, you know, been a special influence on my life or my children's life or whatever. We're just trying to really promote conversation and prayer and thought through this all. So picking the team and then just kind of ascending the vibe, if you would, of the importance of Catholicism, that really, you know, Pope Benedict, who is not a sports fan really, but, you know, really sees the value of sports, says that we as Catholics, we as Christians, we need to continue to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and revitalize the game. And I think now so more than ever.
No question about it. You also have a special summer camp that's going on in August at Doubleday Field. Can you fill us in on that?
Really excited. This is going to be the second year. Thanks to our friend Dr. Joe Ditkowski and former Cincinnati Red Tom Carroll, or with others, and Clint Hurdle, a former manager of the Pirates, are putting on a clinic for the second year for individuals with disabilities, with intellectual disabilities, at the historic Abner Doubleday Field, you know, right across the street from the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, a few weeks after the induction. And we're really excited. And it's one of the many things that, you know, we're working, and the Vatican focuses on this too, on inclusivity, on, you know, bringing everybody, into the fold, if so to speak.
How special is it to be able to bring Catholic masses back to Major League Baseball through your ministry with Catholic Athletes for Christ?
Oh, it warms our heart, and we have so many stories of so many people. You know, literally, if we were to count them, there are hundreds, if not maybe, you know, 1,000 people who have somehow been involved in starting, restarting, continuing our ministries, priests, bishops, players, coaches, managers, clubhouse attendants, you know, the full gamut. Just to see things, you know, it's sad during the COVID years because a lot of teams didn't have a mass or they had a virtual mass, but it's just, there's nothing like receiving the body and blood of Christ, as you know so well, John.
And Ray, I think that every high school athlete needs to see, especially if they play baseball, needs to see your documentary on Gil Hodges. I know that working with the high schools with Catholic Athletes for Christ is something that you guys do, and you're relaunching it again this fall.
We're really excited. Another, you know, casualty of COVID years with many of our high school programs, and we have a big relaunch planned, and we're discussing it with Ave Maria University, having a big, you know, kind of effort to get the good news out all across the land through our high school chapters about the joy of Catholicism and sports. Catholicism in sports, maybe I should say.
Well, Ray, you just reminded us of all the many reasons why this truly is a Catholic summer of baseball. Ray, can you tell our listeners where they can go if they would like to invite one of your Catholic athletes to their parish or to a conference?
Sure. Just go to our website, CatholicAthletesForChrist.org, and there's a Speakers Bureau drop down, or just send us an email, please do, and we'll try to match your an athlete with your needs and interests for your event.
Well, you're doing fantastic work. Congratulations on all that you're doing. And I just absolutely love your film, The Gil Hodges Story, Soul of a Champion. It's always a joy. Really enjoyed being with you, Ray.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thanks, John. Please keep spreading the good news of the joy of baseball as you do so well.
Will do. God bless you, brother. Ray McKenna, the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ, and now it's time for yet another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Paradoxical Commandments by Kent M. Keith, often attributed to St. Mother Teresa. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have. It will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
That is one of my all-time favorite scriptures, as always. Thank you so much, Glenn. I appreciate it. And I want to remind our listeners that you can listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or any of our Morning Hour podcasts on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary during this month of June by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio. And, of course, you can watch it live at relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producer Sarah Tafoya and Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is warming up in the bullpen.